Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 19, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And we've been looking at this issue of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking at, in our last episode, the issue of the coming according to the prophetic program and the things related to Israel. How, you know, today we're going to be looking at the issue of the coming for the body of Christ, the event that, you know, some theologians will call the rapture. The scriptures will actually use the words the day of Christ to describe the coming for the members of the body of Christ. Now, there are a couple passages that we're going to start with that individuals will try to use to say that the coming that the Apostle Paul records in his epistles was recorded during the gospel period. In fact, we can look over, we're going to start in Matthew chapter number 24 first, and looking at something that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach here. And here in Matthew chapter number 24, we're going to start here at verse number 38 and read down through verse number 41. It says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." Now this passage here is used by a lot of individuals to say that the individuals who are being taken away here, that this is a description of the day of Christ. But what you actually look at here, when it's talking about these individuals being taken, because the promise that's been made related to the nation of Israel is the fact that the kingdom is going to be established here on planet Earth, that the individuals that would be left are going to be the ones that are going to be receiving that blessing, receiving that hope, and the individuals that are being taken away here are the ones that are actually going to be taken away into the judgment, being taken away into an issue of, you know, instead of receiving the blessings related to the kingdom, they're going to be taken away into the issues of eternal judgment. The description of that judgment that we see, if we go over one chapter, let's go to Matthew chapter number 25 now. And we're going to see a description of this judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to lay out. Here in Matthew 25, we're going to start here in verse number 31. And we're going to read all the way down through verse number 46 to see what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say about this here. Verse 31 of Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Well, the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now we see here in Matthew chapter number 25, that description of the judgment that's, you know, in this is speaking of Gentiles here, the Gentiles being held to the standard that the nation of Israel is, related to a performance-based system, here related to the kingdom being established on the earth, individuals who are doing the things according to, you know, the program that's laid out, that they're going to receive those blessings. Those who do not do the things according to the program, that they're going to be put in a position where they're going to face, as it lists out here, everlasting punishment. That's the result of going against what the Word of God actually says. And that's the ones that are being taken away. What we just read about over in Matthew chapter number 24, when it talks about two people being in the field, one being taken away and the other left, that they're being taken away to that issue of the judgment that's coming for them. Now, when we look at things related to the catching out of the saints, the day of Christ, we see how the Apostle Paul, when he starts talking about this issue, we see how in this epistle that we've been looking at, that he lays out, you know, different issues that the believer really needs to understand related to this event. Now, every believer is going to be a participant in the day of Christ. So every individual has put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. All individuals who put their trust in that and that alone are saved. They're members of the body of Christ. And the hope is the issue that the Apostle Paul teaches of the day of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back for us, us meeting him in the air, so that way we can receive the promise of ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places. Now, when we go back over to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go to chapter number 1. First, we're going to be looking at issues of what the Apostle Paul says about this event to this assembly in Thessalonica. And here in chapter number 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 10, says, And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we see the issue of the Apostle Paul starting out with the fact that the members of the body of Christ have been delivered from the wrath to come. So no member of the body of Christ has to worry about the fact that we're going to face that wrath being poured out. And when we talk about that wrath, that's the issue of the day of the Lord, that wrath being poured out, the Lord being exalted as that wrath is being poured out. That's what we've been promised, that we're not going to be part of that event. And we see in chapter number 2, the verse that we've been studying over the last few episodes, talking about our hope, you know, the joy that we're going to have as a result of being part of this event. We go over to chapter number 3. We're going to see Paul continue to speak about this thing. And let's read verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. It says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So as he speaks about this, he talks about how we're going to be, we're seen as unblameable in holiness, you know, at the coming, and talk about how that coming is going to be really, it says, with all his saints. That all the saints are going to be part of this event. And we see how Paul's going to give the details of that here in chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And now we're going to read verses 13 through 18. We're going to a passage which is going to lay out a number of details related to this. Verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And when we read this passage, we see how much of a comfort this is, because we see how it gives this description of this event, speaking of the fact that, you know, all those who identify as, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That every person that has put their trust in the gospel message is going to be part of this. That's why Paul can talk about how, you know, that we should not have that same sorrow as those who don't have a hope. Because when we read this and understand exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying, we can see how he's describing the fact that we will see all those who have died before us, that they're going to be part of this event. They're going to be part of the catching out of the saints. We will see them. We will be able to rule and reign with them in the heavenly places for all eternity. And that's how you see how he says that those who are alive and remain unto the coming, we can't prevent this from happening. We are going to be part of it, but the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then those who are alive at that time are going to be caught up. Now, when we start looking at this and we start looking specifically at this passage, we'll start talking about, you know, who it is that's actually going to be alive at that time. Because Paul lays out over in his epistle to Timothy, talking about the last days of this dispensation and how there is going to be an unfaithfulness to the word of God rightly divided that's going to happen as this dispensation comes to a close, and that this message will not be going forth at that time. know, that's what we're going to see happen with that last generation. You know, you see how Paul can talk about and call it truly that comfort, because it is a promise, knowing that we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to keep us in this position, keep us in a place where we're not going to be appointed to that wrath, which is what Paul, again, as he closes out this epistle here, and let's go to chapter number 5 now, and we're going to read verse number 9 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And so as Paul starts closing out this epistle, just like he began it, to point out the fact that there's going to be this thing of where we're not going to be facing the wrath, he closes it out to remind them again that the members of the body of Christ will not be facing the wrath of God. Now, Paul has to write a second epistle to this same assembly. And you see how when he's writing this second epistle, you see how there unfortunately is some struggle that they've had related to the doctrine that he has been trying to lay out for them. He's been teaching them the things of this catching out of the saints, the day of Christ. But we see the end result. After he's laid all this out, spoken about what's going to happen with this, they know that they have this guarantee of it. But let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to see what Paul has to write to this assembly here. And here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we're going to read here the first two verses of the chapter. And it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by letter, nor by word, nor by letter is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." So you see how as he's writing to them, that these individuals have come to this conclusion that the day of Christ is at hand, that they've missed this event. And he's saying that, you know, there's even to the point of where somebody has written a letter, signed the Apostle Paul's name to it, to say, "Well, sorry, you've missed the day of Christ." Now, for that to be said, you know, the one thing we'd have to say is that even the Apostle Paul then would have had to have missed it. And Paul has laid out the fact that everyone who had put their trust in the gospel message is going to be part of the event. And that's why Paul can say, you know, you don't have to worry about this. You don't have to be shaken, because it really would be a shaking thing to think that, you know, you've somehow missed the events that it was promised of, where it said that you're not appointed to wrath. And if you've missed the day of Christ, then the next thing that's supposed to happen is the wrath of God being poured out. So Paul, as he's describing this for them, is going to define in the next two verses, in verse 3 and 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he's going to tell the saints that there's a couple of things that are going to have to happen prior to the day of Christ actually occurring. And so we see here verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," now we're talking about the day of Christ, "shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when you read this passage, it becomes very clear that the day of Christ cannot happen until these two things occur. He says there's going to be a falling away first. That's an apostasy, which means that it's describing a falling away from the truth. And that the second part of it is that the man of sin would be revealed. Then in verse 4, he defines exactly what that being revealed actually is, talking about him sitting down in the temple. So as Paul lays these things out, now if we're using Paul's words to identify all these things, it becomes very clear that these things are all happening prior to the wrath of God being poured out, which lines up exactly with what, you know, you see the opening of the seals happening. The sixth seal identifies the wrath of God, but it's prior to the fifth seal that the man of sin is actually being revealed as a, being laid out here of sitting in a temple declaring himself to be God. Now, one of the things that happens is that individuals will try to say that the day of Christ is the same thing as the day of the Lord, and try to downplay what the day of Christ actually is, even though it's the Apostle Paul that is the only one that identifies that term. Or they'll try to say that, you know, that the day of Christ really doesn't mean the catching out of the saints. But when we look at some of the other passages that the Apostle Paul uses to describe this day, let's go over to Philippians chapter number 1 to see how Paul is actually going to describe the day of Christ. And we're going to see here in Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse 6, and then we're going to jump down to verse number 10. Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians, or of Philippians chapter 1 says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now we'll skip down to verse number 10. "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." So we see this issue of Paul saying that there's a work that's being done in us that's going to occur up until this event happening. Then he defines and says that the members of the body of Christ are going to be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Now we can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We're going to see one more thing that's going to tie in with this issue of the good work, the being sincere without offense, because in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're going to read verse number 8, which says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul saying that we're going to be blameless, and it says that we're going to be confirmed unto the end. So all of these different things, the good work, the fact that we're going to be looked at as being sincere without offense, that we're going to be blameless, all of that is being identified as being the end, which is the catching out of the saints. That's why when I talk about that term, that I do not use the term rapture, because that term's not found in the scriptures. The words that the Apostle Paul uses to define the event is the day of Christ. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're waiting for, that event to happen, so that way we can receive our glorified body, so that way we can be in a position where we're going to rule and reign with him in the heavenly places. And as we get to some of those passages that we've just looked at in the Thessalonian epistles, we're going to go into much more detail about exactly what they mean, because, you know, some of those passages are ones that individuals really struggle with understanding exactly what they mean. And because of their struggle, it's led to some doctrinal issues that have come up for themselves. Now, next time, we're actually going to finally start verse number 20 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services as they're being broadcast live on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything you hear in any of our broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.